Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, August 16, 2020. Obituaries. Gerald Sweet Pitts. Gerald Jerry Sweet Pitts passed away peacefully at home, surrounded by family, on August 14, 2020, at the age of 87 years old. Jerry was born to Laura V. and Alan F. Pitts on September 24, 1932, in Fort Worth, Texas. He was raised by his mother in Fort Worth. He graduated from Pashtall High School in 1950 and the University of Texas in 1954 with a Bachelor of Science degree in geology. After graduation, he entered the U.S. Navy, serving on board the USS Cogswell, DD-651, in the Pacific Theater. On August 22, 1953, he married his high school sweetheart, Carol Swetman, whom he cherished and adored. People often spoke of how much they were amazed at his deep love for his wife of 67 years. In October 1956, Jerry moved to Midland to work for Humble Oil and Refining Company. During his employment with Humble, he worked as a surface geologist, core drill geologist, and production exploration geologist at various towns in the Permian Basin, returning to Midland after each assignment. In 1966, he became an independent geologist. In 1982, with the help of Greg, his oldest son, he formed Pitts Energy Company. His other two sons, David and Steve, joined the company shortly after Pitts Energy was formed. He served as president of Pitts Energy Company until January 1999, when he officially retired. He has continued in an advisory capacity until his death. He is given credit for finding several oil and gas fields and field extensions in the Permian Basin and Eastern Shelf. Jerry was a lifelong member of the United Methodist Church. He was a member of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, AAPG, West Texas Geological Society, Society of Independent Professional Earth Scientists, Longhorn Foundation, life member of the UT Ex-Students Association, University of Texas Chancellor's Council, the Littlefield Society, TCU Chancellor's Council, TCU Clark Society, Midland College Foundation, and St. Luke's United Methodist Church. He served in numerous lay leadership positions and was a former chairman of the administrative board at St. Luke's during his 61 years as a member. In addition, he was a lifelong supporter of the Methodist Children Home in Waco, Texas. He served as a delegate to the National AAPG Convention several times. Jerry served 4 years as Cub Master of Pack 160 at St. Luke's. In addition, he worked 13 years in the Midland Junior Baseball program, serving in various positions. He also was a past president of Midland County Republican Men's Club. Jerry was a member of Green Tree Country Club and served 6 years on the board of directors and 1 year as president. He also held a private pilot's license. Jerry was known for his kindness, integrity, and love for others. Relationships were very important to him. He kept daily win-loss stats for over 30 years regarding the Downturn Coffee Group, where the older men schooled the younger men on pitching coins and playing the game to decide who bought coffee. Many tall tales were spun, oil deals made, and politics debated in those days. He was also passionate about education and established many college scholarship opportunities for countless individuals, both locally and within the state. Jerry enjoyed gardening, watching UT football, and working with his sons and grandchildren at the office and the ranch. Jerry survived by his loving wife and best friend, Carol, son Greg Pitts, son David Pitts, wife Jean, their children Jennifer Casper, husband Kyle, Nicholas, wife Nicole, and Sarah, son Steve Pitts, wife Paige, and their children Zach, wife Jessie, and Amber Booth, husband Cameron. Jerry was preceded in death by a grandson, Trevor Pitts. A special thanks to Victor for his amazing and loving care during his illness. We also thank Hospice of Midland and the VA for their kindness, support, and care. Due to the coronavirus, there will be a private service attended by family only. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Carol and Jerry Pitts Endowed Scholarship Fund at Midland College, 3600 North Garfield, Midland, Texas, 79705, or St. Luke's UMC, 3011 West Kansas, Midland, Texas, 79701, or Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Alicia Carrasco. Alicia Carrasco, 80, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, August 13, 2020. Viewing will be held at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street, on Sunday, August 16, 2020, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. Sunday evening. Funeral service is set for Monday, August 17, 2020, at 10 a.m. at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Alicia is survived by her husband, Gregorio S. Carrasco, four sons, Miguel Angel Carrasco, Lorenzo Carrasco, Jose Luis Carrasco, and Homero Carrasco, three daughters, Araceli Carrasco, Minerva Natividad, and Sagrario Leyva, one brother, five sisters, and numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Carlton D. Butch Sanderson. Carlton D. Butch Sanderson, 71, of Midland, passed away August 11, 2020, in Midland. He is survived by his children, Chad and Adam Sanderson, one sister. There are no services scheduled. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Sixto Galindo. Sixto Galindo, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Saturday, August 15, 2020. He is survived by his mother, Antonio Galindo, four brothers, Ernesto Galindo, Arnulfo Galindo, Manuel Galindo, and Alvino Galindo, one sister, Elsa Galindo Sainz. He was preceded in death by his father, Manuel Galindo, and his brother, Jose Angel Galindo. Visitation will be Monday, August 17, 2020, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a prayer service beginning at 7 p.m. Monday evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell, Midland, Texas. Funeral service will be Tuesday, August 18, 2020, at 10 a.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Terry M. Reagan Ruiz. Terry M. Reagan Ruiz, 56, of Odessa, passed away August 7, 2020, in Odessa. Terry survived by her husband, Giovanni Ruiz, children Matthew Ruiz, and Rachel M. Reagan. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. William C. Bill Porter. Bill Porter, 88, of Midland, passed away August 14, 2020. He was born May 4, 1932, to Martin and Bess Porter. He is survived by his sons, Will Porter and Richard Porter, and grandsons Gary, Chris, and Kelly Porter. A graveside service for the family will be held on August 24, 2020, in Gorey, Texas. A celebration of life will be held in Midland, Texas, at a later date.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, August 16th. Marilyn Sue Benefield. Marilyn Sue Benefield, 45, passed away August 12th. She was born in Odessa, April 11th, 1975. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, August 17th, 2020 at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Donnie Raleigh, Chaplain of Hospice, officiating. She is survived by her parents, Susan and Dale Benefield, her brother Seth Benefield, and a niece, Janice Benefield. She is preceded in death by her meemaw, Maddie Sue Cavender, granddad, R.C. Cavender, and an uncle. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Rebecca Escobedo. Rebecca Hernandez Escobedo, 47, of Odessa, passed away August 2nd. She was born to Robert Escobedo and Ophelia McGinty Hernandez, May 12, 1973, in Rotan. She is survived by her children, Anthony N. Escobedo, Beau K. Gonzalez, and wife Carmen, Ariel N. Garcia, her parents, Roberto Escobedo and Ophelia McGinty Hernandez, her brother, Bubba Lee, sisters Christina Escobedo, Angela Escobedo, Jennifer Herrera, and Jeanette Escobedo, four grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory. Elaine Wofford. Elaine Wofford, 69, of Henrietta, passed away Wednesday, August 12th in Odessa. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 18th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home with Reverend Mike Bartlett officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Elaine was born in Henrietta to Adam and Sue Klein, December 31st, 1950. Lisa Ann Galvan Franco. Lisa Ann Galvan Franco, 54, passed away August 12th at her residence. She was born February 25th, 1966, in Oak Park, Illinois, to Mary Louise Morales. She is survived by her husband, Richard Franco of Odessa, stepdaughter, Brianna Franco of Elotes, mother, Mary Louise Morales of Crane, twin sister, Gloria Galvan of Odessa, brothers, Roy Morales of Crane, and Faustino J.R. Torres and family of Odessa, aunts Pauline Morrow and Patsy Cedillo, a cousin, a special cousin, Sylvia Pember of Hobbs, and numerous cousins, over 100. Lisa is preceded in death by her stepfather, Jose L. Morales. Viewing was held August 16th and will be held from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. August 17th at Schaefer Nichols in Crane. Rosary will be held at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Crane at 7 p.m. August 17th. Funeral Mass will be held August 18th at Good Shepherd Catholic Church at 10 a.m. with burial to follow. Arrangements are under the direction of Schaefer Nichols Funeral Home. Bobby Earl Gard. Bobby Earl Gard, 85, of Odessa, passed away Monday, July 27th. He was born January 20th, 1935, in Drumright, Oklahoma, to C. Earl Gard and Althea Morell Gard. Surviving him are his wife of 59 years, Rachel Strickland Gard, son Mark Gard, daughter Serena Freeland and husband Paul, daughter Sherry Wilson and Steve Brown, sister Norma Slayton and husband Bill, and many extended family members, as well as four grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents and his sisters Cordelia Gard and Roberta Harvey. Services will be held at a later date. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to Meals on Wheels or the charity of your choice. Robert G. Vasquez. Robert Garza Vasquez passed away Tuesday, August 4th, at the age of 69. He is survived by 6 children: Edward Vasquez, Jerry Vasquez, Richard Vasquez, Paulina Lugo Vasquez, Daniela Lugo Vasquez, and Robert L. Vasquez Jr. Also, his surviving siblings: Dorothy Martinez, Anna Marie Brown, Elva Gonzalez, and Guillermo Jr. Vasquez. Brothers that preceded him are Ramiro Vasquez and Reynaldo Vasquez. Because of COVID restrictions, family is planning a memorial service in Odessa at a later date. If you wish to honor Robert in any manner, simply be kind to one another. Terry M. Reagan Ruiz. Terry M. Reagan Ruiz, 56, of Odessa, passed away August 7th. She was born to the late Milton and Virginia Currier on March 3rd, 1964, in Odessa. She was married to Giovanni for 36 years, and her children survive her: Matthew M. Ruiz and Rachel M. Reagan. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Death notices. Max Wiley Bayer. Max Wiley Bayer, 86, died Saturday, August 15th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Billy Ray Crump. Billy Ray Crump, 67, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 13th. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, August 20th at Northside Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Los Angeles Gardens at Ector County Cemetery, with Brother Clydell Chapman officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Dolores O. Gurul. Dolores O. Gurul, 81, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 13th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. August 19th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Dickie Lee Mitchum. Dickie Lee Mitchum, 71, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 13th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. August 20th at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Lourdes R. Lully Soto. Lourdes R. Lully Soto, 49, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 13th. A celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Wednesday, August 19th at Iglesia de Poder y Restauración. Family has opted for private cremation to follow. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. The opinion page. Opinion Extra by Rick Lowry. Republicans must deal with QAnon rot. QAnon is getting its first congresswoman. Marjorie Taylor Greene won a runoff in a Republican primary Tuesday, all but assuring her victory in November in a heavily GOP district. She is thus set to become the highest office holder in the land who takes seriously the lunatic theories of QAnon, the anonymous internet poster who says, among other ludicrous and poisonous things, that there's a global network of pedophiles about to be exposed and undone by President Donald Trump. Green's ascension is the latest indication of the creeping influence of Q, who has fashioned a kind of free-floating John Birch society for the digital age. The author's adherents or fellow travelers are adept at spreading memes on social media, hold signs, or wear paraphernalia touting Q at Trump rallies, and now are notching some victories in GOP primaries. Joe Ray Perkins, a no-hoper who won the Republican Senate primary in Oregon, has associated herself with Q and expressed disappointment when her sellout campaign team tried to hide her enthusiasm for the conspiracy theory. Lauren Boebert, the upset winner of a primary for a Republican House seat in Colorado, said of Q in a radio interview, "If this is real, then it could be really great for our country." The rise of Q shouldn't be exaggerated. Surely, most Republicans aren't even aware of this dreck, and the Q caucus in the next Congress might number around one or two. Almost every political movement has a fringe that marinates in paranoia and is prepared to believe or invent the worst about the other side. Yet the spread of QAnon shows that the Trump-era GOP has weakened antibodies against kookery. Trump himself sets the tone. He's an indiscriminate tweeter of disreputable Twitter accounts, and he's floated all sorts of ridiculous conspiracy theories himself over the years. Just ask Ted Cruz's father or Joe Scarborough. Trump fulsomely praised Green upon her primary victory as a Republican rising star. In 2017, Green posted a long, hilariously earnest, and completely bonkers explanation of Q posts to YouTube. She had read them closely and spent time trying to figure out their import. The time and energy you'd hope an eventual congressional candidate would devote to understanding the federal budget, or, say, how to reform military procurement. She had poured into Q, and was clearly invigorated and alarmed by it. And why not? A conspiracy theory has its pleasures. No matter how convoluted, a good conspiracy theory offers a relatively simple explanation of the world, namely, that it is controlled by a cabal. A conspiracy theory lets its believers in on a secret not available to everyone else. It thus has the thrill of exclusivity. It bestows upon the initiated a knowledge ignored or dismissed by fools and the easily deceived. A conspiracy theory offers the drama of a morality tale. Can the people with the discernment to understand and the willingness to fight back defeat the traitors carrying out a dastardly plot? Q has a special draw for a segment of Trump supporters. The author's lurid inventions involve people who are already villains of the populist right, the likes of George Soros and John Podesta. Q promotes a radical distrust of traditional sources of information and makes Trump's stumbles into master chess moves, both of which are pleasing to Trump superfans. All of this is an explanation, not an excuse. Q is deeply corrosive of the qualities necessary to live in and govern a republic. It invites its adherents to suspend reason. How else to credit all the prophecies that haven't come to pass? And believe that a swath of the American establishment isn't just wrong-headed or incompetent, but engaged in monstrous secret crimes. Marjorie Taylor Greene has already been criticized by Republican congressional leaders for her incendiary rantings about Muslims. She deserves, too, to be shunned for her attraction to Q, even if the President of the United States is unbothered by it. Letters to the Editor. Changing name won't erase school's history. After reading all of the letters to the editor from residents in the August 9th edition of the Reporter-Telegram, I truly have to laugh. I've been a resident of Midland since the fall of 1968, the year after Midland ISD was forced to integrate by the federal government. As an African-American citizen, I am scratching my head about this issue because the name chosen for this school in 1961 was chosen by an all-white student body. And let's talk about closing Carver High School. None of Carver's history has been erased, so this excuse of Lee's history won't be erased either. This brainwashing technique does not work. Those decades of brainwashing about the name Robert E. Lee are over. As far as cost is concerned, none of you Republicans minded putting millions of dollars in Trump's re-election campaign last week. So what's the problem in donating money to rebrand two schools that are the name of a traitor to the United States of America? Not changing this name is un-American. Major Houston, Midland High Class of 1981. Groups need to come to agreement on school name. In Roger Fisher William Urey's book, Getting to Yes, the authors repeat the orange parable about two children bickering over an orange. Mom doesn't want to listen to the incessant arguing and cuts the orange in equal halves to be shared. When she gives the orange to the children, neither is satisfied because one wanted the flesh and the other wanted the peel. Our community finds itself in an argument, and Mom, the school board, has decided to solve the problem. One side finds the name Robert E. Lee objectionable, based on General Lee's role in history and the method in which a previous school board determined the school's name. The other side finds the changing the school's name objectionable because the school has a lengthy history of achievement. The culture and traditions built within the school are positive, and the cost to strip the schools of their branding is prohibitive. Perhaps there is a way to allow both sides to get either the orange's flesh or the peel. Removing Robert E. and the changing the school's name to Midland Lee High School, where the Lee becomes an acronym. Keeping the school's mascot as a re-imaged rebel would also reduce the rebranding expense significantly and help maintain the school's identity and associated accomplishments. There's a group in town that is striving to have the name changed to Midland Lee. This group, named Save Lee Rebels, has created petitions to be signed and presented to the school board. If you agree with the Midland Lee approach and want to sign a petition, email saveleerebels@yahoo.com. It is our hope both sides can listen to each other and can come to an agreement that will put this issue to bed permanently. Kyrie Wohub. Community needs to pull together to control the virus. With the current positivity trend in Midland for COVID-19 still above 5%, and our goal, per public health officials, is, I believe, 5%, it appears we still have a lot of this coronavirus in our community. We have been told by public health officials as well as elected officials that if we will collectively practice the simple measures outlined for us, wearing masks in public, staying 6 feet apart, not congregating in groups, not touching our faces, washing our hands for 20 seconds, etc., we could have this virus under control in a fairly short time. Instead of arguing various points of view, could we, the Midland community that pulled Bobby Jessica out of that well, please pull together once again to put this virus out of our business in our community? Jane Wolfe.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Opinion. National View. The Democrats choose Harris. The Point. Biden bows to the party's requirements with the California senator. In choosing Kamala Harris as his running mate on Tuesday, Joe Biden checked the essential boxes his party had demanded. A woman, a minority, and a progressive who has moved left as the Democratic Party has. We'll see how the California senator plays in the swing state suburbs that Mr. Biden needs to defeat President Trump. Mr. Biden's choice is especially important because he would be the oldest president on Inauguration Day at age 78. The actuarial tables and his declining mental acuity suggest he wouldn't run for re-election, assuming he lasts a full term. Americans who have watched Mr. Biden on the campaign trail and the way his advisors protect him from media questioning are smart enough to know that in voting for Mr. Biden, they're also voting for his running mate as a likely president. Ms. Harris is most appealing as an example of American upward mobility, especially for immigrants. Her father is a Jamaican-born Stanford economist. Her Indian-born mother was a breast cancer researcher at the University of California, Berkeley. Even when the country was less racially tolerant than it is now, both parents had successful careers and were able to provide opportunities for their daughter, even as they divorced. She made the most of them. Like Barack Obama, Ms. Harris's success is a living refutation of the left's critique of America as an oppressive, racist land. Her political record, on the other hand, will reassure Democrats more than independents or soft Republicans. She's a political lifer who rose through the patronage machine of former Assembly Speaker Willie Brown. She was a local prosecutor, a state attorney general for 6 years, and was elected to the Senate in 2016 after party bigs cleared the primary for her. This isn't an extensive resume for executive office, and on foreign policy, she is about as experienced as Sarah Palin. Ms. Harris ran for president this year, but washed out quickly despite being a media favorite as the candidate from Central Casting. Her campaign's most notable moment came in the first debate when she played the race card against Mr. Biden by distorting the history of forced busing in the 1970s. The jab scored oohs and ahs from the media judges, but its demagoguery was blatant. Mr. Biden will get credit in some quarters for rising above that attack to choose her. But we'd feel better about Mr. Biden if he had bypassed her for that reason. An effective president needs to put his stamp on the party, not vice versa. In choosing Ms. Harris, Mr. Biden is bending to the party's preferences and rewarding the kind of political cheap shot he abhors in Mr. Trump. Her record as prosecutor will bother some on the Black Lives Matter left, but her identity as a minority will blunt that concern. She's progressive but malleable. She was quick to endorse Medicare for All and the Green New Deal as a presidential candidate, but she backtracked when they began to look too extreme. She is also a ferocious partisan. As California AG, she killed a deal that would have rescued some ailing Catholic hospitals because of opposition from the Service Employees International Union. In the Senate, she was one of the nastiest questioners of Brett Kavanaugh, which is a high bar. She floated some innuendo about the judicial nominee's alleged secret discussions about Robert Mueller's Russia probe without any evidence. As a candidate, Ms. Harris will be delighted to brawl with Donald Trump. Mr. Biden may have backed himself into the corner of having to choose Ms. Harris. He limited his choices by promising to select a woman, and the black Democrats who saved him in South Carolina pressed for a black woman. Then the Sanders wing pressed for a progressive, and Ms. Harris is a safer choice by far than Elizabeth Warren. In this sense, the choice is revealing about the unusual nature of Mr. Biden's candidacy. He won the nomination as the last-ditch anti-Trump alternative to what would have been the suicidal selection of Bernie Sanders. More than any recent nominee, Mr. Biden is a party figurehead more than a party leader. In adding Ms. Harris to the ticket, he has underscored that a vote for Mr. Biden isn't merely a vote to oust Mr. Trump. It's a vote for the coastal progressives who now dominate the Democratic Party. The Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, August 16, 2020. Viewpoints. Community activism. Keep up intensity after new school name. Stuart DeReen. sdereen@hearstnp.com. Lee High School alumni, parents, students, and supporters come together Saturday in the Lee High student parking lot to gather signatures in support of keeping the name of Lee High School. Today, we are going to pay tribute to the Reporter-Telegram's past and go old school with the style of quick hit thoughts that former editor Gary Ott, may he rest in peace, might have appreciated. Ott, an underrated wordsmith, called the column Random Thoughts, and they were a staple for many readers during his time at the Reporter-Telegram from the 1980s to well past the turn of the millennium. Today's thoughts aren't quite as random, as most focus on Midland, but hopefully you, the Reporter-Telegram reader, appreciate this change of pace. As is the case with any opinion piece, I hardly expect 100% agreement, but hopefully today's article offers opportunities for you to think about what's happening in the community. During the Robert E. Lee High School name change process, I have been surprised, probably foolishly, about what issues people will put their energy behind. Don't get me wrong, I don't have a problem with people taking a stand and working toward a solution, but I hope we see as much involvement and time spent by the community when it comes to the pursuit of academic achievement. Midlanders, keep up the intensity. Our community is better when you are engaged, and our students deserve better than those, on both sides, disappearing after the Lee High School name issue has been solved. I look forward to spending the next few months searching out community, state, and national leaders who make the effort to inspire an electorate. Maybe it is because of COVID-19, the upcoming presidential election, a state Republican party in which the governor and state party chairman appear at odds, or the fact that some local leaders act as though they would rather divide and conquer. I can't remember a time when inspiration has been so tough to find. I personally will look harder for those who attempt to lead by bringing people together. I think that is what this community should expect. Public service announcement. The deadline for putting your name on the ballot for Midland ISD Board, Districts 1, 2, 4, and 7, Hospital District Board, or Midland College Board, places 7, 8, and 9, is 5 p.m. Monday. Thank you to those at Midland's educational institutions who worked overtime to make the school year possible for tens of thousands of students. Over the past few weeks, those like Bethany Solis at Idea Public Schools, Jared Lee at Midland Christian, Shelby Hammer at Trinity, Zach Craddock at Third Future Schools, and Katie Atkins, Woodrow Bailey, and Lisa Goodnow at MISD made time to talk with Reporter-Telegram about preparations being made. They also allowed our photographers access to help celebrate the start of another school year. We appreciate their consideration. It is neat to see live events come back on the community calendar. I hope Midlanders get an opportunity to see Tim Tebow, who is the scheduled guest speaker at an October event benefiting Teen Flow. I have always been fond of Tebow for his public pro-life stance and his treatment of people with special needs. He genuinely offers Midlanders a worthy role model. Don't tell my bosses, but I have enjoyed working from home. I am indeed fortunate. Thank you to Abel Hanger Foundation and the FMH Foundation for bringing attention to those organizations that are helping Midlanders find a place for their children to study while the district starts the 2020-2021 school year with at-home learning. We hope all working parents can find a place for their students to thrive during this period away from campus. The City of Midland has removed the public comment period from the Midland City Council agenda during the pandemic and the switch to virtual meetings. City leaders have stated that the governor has allowed the suspension of certain open meetings rules. Still, I hope they don't wait until the end of the pandemic to reinstate the public comment period. I can't help but think that West Texans must be disappointed in Joe Biden's selection of Kamala Harris as the party's candidate for vice president. No matter one's politics, it is hard to make a credible case that she was the most qualified candidate, even if Biden was determined to select a black woman. And it is nearly impossible to get all West Texans to believe that Harris was a safe pick for the region, considering her pledge to ban hydraulic fracturing. Homeschooling allows parents to make a difference. Jenny Cudd. Have you ever thought of homeschooling your children? I was homeschooled my whole life, and I absolutely loved it. My brother Jake, the genius of the family, went to preschool, and when it was time to test for kindergarten, my mother was told that he had auditory processing problems and would need to be in a special needs class. My mom knew he was brilliant, and she strongly believed that if one can read and write well, they can do anything, so she decided to homeschool him instead. While Mom was teaching Jake English phonograms so he could read, I was nearby playing with my dolls. But I, too, was learning the phonograms and began reading at age 3. In the late 1980s, homeschooling resources were scarce, so my mother became very resourceful and figured it out. Heck, we didn't even have a computer until 1994. My mom was one of the founding members of the South Plains Christian Home Educators Association. Being homeschooled was wonderful. No matter what we were studying, Mom found a way for it to be experiential. We'd go to the local butcher and get fetal pigs to dissect. Other homeschooled kids would come over, and my brother would show them how you can inflate the pig's lungs with a straw. Growing up in Lubbock, we lived very close to Texas Tech University. If we were studying bugs, Mom would call the entomology lab at Texas Tech, and we would go tour it. When we studied clouds and weather, we went to the meteorology lab at Texas Tech. When I was 15 and we were studying anatomy and physiology, we even went through the cadaver lab at Texas Tech. She didn't let anything stop her from giving us a great education. She was more concerned that we loved learning than making sure we were always spot on in every subject for our grade level. I hated math, but eventually learned it. But I loved ancient Egyptian history, so I studied it for 8 years and even knew how to read hieroglyphs. One day we had an adventure, and we went to South Plains College to take the entrance exam just to see what it was like. Mom was 47, Jake was 15, I was 12. We all passed. Jake decided he wanted to start taking classes, and he started college at 15. My two favorite memories of being homeschooled happened around what we were learning in history. When I was 6 and Jake was 9, we were studying the Revolutionary War. Mom took us to a carpenter who cut out the silhouette of long rifles, replete with bayonets, out of raw wood. Jake and I also made 3-point Revolutionary-era hats. Several times a week, any one of us would yell, "The British are coming!" Then we would grab our wooden muskets, run around our neighborhood yelling, "The British are coming!" Take cover behind a bush or a tree, and take aim. My second favorite memory was when I was 9, and Mom was teaching 8 other girls my age American history using the American Girls dolls and curriculum. When we were studying World War II, my mom met a Jewish concentration camp, Dachau survivor, Helene Shiver, and asked her to come tell her story to us. This sweet old lady came and sat in my living room and shared her experiences of the horrors of being rounded up from her home in Bulgaria, where her wealthy family was hosting a party of family and friends. Helene was 13, and her entire family and all the party attendees were sent to concentration camps, and she never saw any of them again. More than 100 of her family members died in concentration camps, and she was the lone survivor. My mom and the other moms had asked her to share whatever she wanted. It was awful, and I cry every time I remember it. She showed us her feet, where her toes were mangled and curled under from years of wearing the same pair of boots while she was a young, growing girl. She showed us the number tattooed on her arm, and the scars on her body, where the Nazis bored holes in her bones for medical research. She spoke of how the American soldiers saved them from the concentration camp, and she married the American serviceman who rescued her. I am forever grateful for the lessons she taught us. Homeschooling is certainly not for everyone, but I believe you know if it is right for your children. With everything going on in the world today, and if you are not happy with the academic performance of your school district, I highly recommend homeschooling your children. No one knows your child better than you, and you can make the difference in their education. They will be better for it. www.thsc.org is a wonderful organization that provides a wealth of information for homeschool families, and my super teacher mom and I would be happy to help you in any way we can as well. Do not be afraid. You can do this.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Sense of Smell and Coronavirus. Dear Dr. Roach, my dear friend had the coronavirus early in April. She tested positive. Her symptoms were no taste or smell and feeling very sluggish. She has since tested negative. She also tested positive for antibodies. Her sense of smell and taste have not come back. She went to an ENT and was given a CAT scan of her sinuses, which showed nothing wrong. She was put on a steroid pack and Flonase twice a day. 10 days have already passed with no improvement. Do you think that her sense of smell and taste will ever return? KFG. Answer. Although many viral infections can cause loss of taste and smell, this has been a particularly common symptom in coronavirus, 30 to 80%. In every case I have seen, it has come back, although the loss can be prolonged for weeks or months. This is a new disease, and it hasn't been long enough for us to see whether there will be a few cases that are permanent. So far, it looks promising that the sense of taste and smell will come back in most people who lost them due to coronavirus.
Dear Abby, wife looks for words to heal man cut down by his mother. Dear Abby, my husband's mother recently told him he no longer matters to her because he's an atheist. His mother is supposedly a Christian, but she rarely acts like one. It has left my husband devastated and feeling more lonely than ever. I can't find the right words to comfort him when he's going through something I haven't got a clue about. How do I empathize with him, to let him know he did nothing wrong and that he never deserved to have those words thrown at him by his own mother? It infuriates me, but I don't think it would be right for me to step in and talk to her directly. How do you deal with a narcissist who constantly plays the victim, even after all the support you've given to her, financially and emotionally? Supportive wife in Alabama. Dear wife, I'm glad you asked. Explain to your husband that by emotionally abusing him this way, his mother is attempting to control him. What she said is despicable, and if he is as emotionally dependent on her as you have described, he may need counseling to get past this. The way to deal with her emotional blackmail is to distance yourselves from her financially and emotionally, because she is manipulative and toxic. Dear Abby, when I was a little girl, my mother died of breast cancer. I always suspected that I might have the gene, too. To make matters worse, my dad got skin cancer a couple of years ago, meaning my risk of getting cancer is higher because of both my parents having it. I'm turning 18 in a couple of months, and I want to get tested to see what my risk is, but I'm terrified. I sometimes feel a stabbing pain in my chest, and I think I feel a lump. I'm not sure if I'm imagining it due to my stress and fear or if it's true. I don't want to tell my dad until after my appointment, which I plan on doing alone. What should you think I should do? Should I tell him? Afraid in Florida. Dear Afraid, try to calm yourself. The lump you felt may not be what you fear, but a cyst. Breast cancer in teen girls is rare, but cysts are quite common. It might also be nothing. That said, because of your family history, you should be checked by a doctor. I don't believe in keeping secrets of this nature. If you would like emotional support when you get the test for the BRCA gene, your father, or a female relative, would be a logical choice to go with you. Please give it some thought. Dear Abby, I have a medical alert service dog. People at the store won't leave him alone to do his job, and I don't know what to do. I don't want to be rude to these people, but my life depends on his alerting. Each time I must shop for groceries, I am very afraid. Advice? No petting in Pennsylvania. Dear No Petting, you are a nice person. Too nice, in fact. When someone attempts to distract your service animal, tell the person emphatically to stop immediately because he is on duty, working to ensure your safety, and being distracted could cost you your life. It is the truth. Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, August 19, 2020. In case you were wondering, I'm an Aries. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun and moon in Leo until 4:20 a.m. when the moon enters Virgo. Happy birthday for Wednesday, August 19, 2020. Influential, self-confident, and careful. You both conceal and reveal who you are. Your life's work is built patiently, but sometimes you need to push yourself to act. This year is wildly successful for you. If single, You might procrastinate on committing and miss a worthwhile love. If attached, if deepest feelings are exchanged, then your partner is very happy. Do not remain secretive. Leo helps you share more of yourself. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. The cell salt for Aries is potassium phosphate. This helps treat skin conditions, as well as the depression and headaches your birth sign is often prone to. Tonight, find the cell salt in garlic, bran, dates, mustard greens, peppers, and wheat germ. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 5 stars. Today highlights your creative potentials. Pursue a favorite project or avocation. It could generate additional income and bring you recognition, even some celebrity status. Love prospects continue to be promising during the long summer days. Tonight, dance with ecstatic energy. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. A family member's contributions or advice brings welcome financial assistance. Today also indicates that the sale, purchase, or rental of property could pave the way to financial freedom. Much to be discussed with family. Tonight, a long, celebratory family dinner. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. Stay informed about current events. The news provides valuable perspective and insights. Educational broadcasts or podcasts are enjoyable. Also, casual conversations offer nuances that facilitate your spiritual awakening. Tonight, try a meditation circle or yoga class in your neighborhood. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 3 stars. Family members can require extra assistance. Prepare for a financial roller coaster ride. Look for ways to reduce expenses related to housing. Seek ways to employ the latest technologies in fulfilling your security needs and desires. Tonight, a financial breakthrough. Rags turn to riches. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 5 stars. Idealistic yet practical, your ruling planet is clever, agile Mercury. Today blesses you with great vitality, favoring a fresh start. Much can be accomplished. Be guided and inspired by your core values. Tonight, write a list of wishes and resolutions for the year to come. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 4 stars. Appreciation for solitude and peace is present. Today affects your 12th house of the hidden psyche. You experience an awakening of consciousness during a time of reverie and retreat. Focus on what you may offer to the world. Tonight, a good night's sleep. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. A whole network of new acquaintances reaches out to you. An invitation is extended to participate in an organization dedicated to a cause you believe in. Think this through before acting. Goals are being selected that have a long-range impact on your future. Tonight, relax. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 5 stars. The light of fame and fortune beams down upon you. Opportunities arise for taking on new challenges. Your highest potentials are unleashed. Invest extra effort in career goals, and great progress will be enjoyed. Tonight, celebrate as only a Sagittarius knows how. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 5 stars. Today indicates opportunities for travel, perhaps to visit a sacred or historical site. This is a wonderful time to write prose or poetry for publication. Begin a journal. It might become the outline for a great novel. Tonight, you are in wonderment. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Today marks a time of beginnings. Release the old and embrace all that is fresh and unexpected. Communication is subtle with loved ones. Encourage a discussion of dreams over breakfast. Dream analysis provides insight into the needs of those closest to you. Tonight, journal. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Today is like a sentimental journey, deepening a close relationship. A wonderful mental rapport is established with one whom you would woo. An idealistic and romantic mood prevails. Tonight, forgive and forget a loved one's frailties, and intimate relationships go well. Born today, aviator Orville Wright, 1871, designer Coco Chanel, 1883, actor Matthew Perry, 1969.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.